in Knoxville, Tennessee. And Brother Jimbo wants you to come. And first time he's been around our ministry, and we're so glad he's able to come. Share his heart with us tonight. You pray for him. He's a country boy. Pray for him tonight. I love you, brother. Amen.
How country I am.
It's all right, buddy.
Amen. Well, he could have left off that I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee, till after I got through preaching. But I hate it for you. You can tell. You can tell. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 12, if you'll find your place there, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Just want to share the burden of our heart, and we'll move out of the way and let the Lord use Brother Dagenhart, as he's often done, to touch and help us. It's an honor to be here. Appreciate you, Pastor. And just appreciate people being themselves, not trying to be someone else. And no telling what God could do if we'd just find out who we are and be ourselves. For the sake of time, I want to read one verse in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 20. And we'll keep our Bibles open and get to our thought as quickly as possible. The Bible said, "Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat." You can be seated, and I want you to keep your Bibles open. And I want to look at this story. As I said, it's very familiar to most of you that have been saved any amount of time. About the psalmist, about David and the sin that he committed. We know the sin that he committed in chapter number 11 with Bathsheba. And we know all of the details about that. And the time carries on and the baby is born. You remember Nathan, the man of God, came to him and he told him that story about the man that had many sheep, and that one man that had that one ewe lamb, and that shepherd's heart in David came out. And David said, "The man that had done this is going to restore fourfold." And Nathan looked at him and he said, "David, you are the man." And the judgment of God began to fall upon David. And I'm glad that he did get right. I'm glad that he did ask the Lord to forgive him. And the Lord did forgive him. And I'm glad there's not a sin that the believer can commit that God will not forgive. I'm glad there's not a sin that the believer can commit that God won't forgive. But I just want to use this phrase. It just helped me a while back in verse number 20, and I hope it'll help you tonight, where the Bible said, in the midst of all of this that's going on, and I'm trusting that you're familiar with the story, but in the midst of all of this that's going on in the life of David, the Bible said in verse 20, in the middle of the verse, he came into the house of the Lord and he worshipped. Now I want to preach for just a few minutes tonight on I will worship. I am going to worship in spite of circumstances, in spite of sin, in spite of the world and the economy and the rain and the election and everything else that's under the sun. I'm going to do my best to try to worship my Lord. You look in the life of David, and we won't go back and look at it all, but I want to say first of all that David worshiped the Lord in spite of the fight that he had with the flesh. You remember that day when the kings went out to battle and David stayed behind? I guarantee if he was here tonight, he would tell you he wished a million times over that he'd have went out that day, but he didn't, and he stayed, and he looked on Bathsheba, and he lusted after her, and he called her in, and all of that took place, and he fell to that fight that he had with the flesh. That fight that he had, it came from a heart of lust. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, even though he was the king of Israel, he still fell to that heart of lust. And he committed that sin. Many sins were compiled in this. Not only adultery, he had Uriah set up for murder. I never will forget the first time I ever read how David had him set out. He told his men, he said, "You set him out in the hottest battle." He talked about Uriah.
And he said, when the battle gets at its peak, you withdraw and let them kill him. And that's what his friends withdrew from him. And he was murdered out there fighting for his people. It came from a heart of lust. It was a hurt that forever lasted. David himself often said that his sin was ever before him. And the humiliation that it left. You know, you think about the life of David and everything that he did, all the way back from when he was a young man and he fought the bear and he fought the lion and he was anointed and he fought the Goliath, the giant, and everything he did. But the majority of the memory of David was that sin that he committed with Bathsheba. But I'm telling you tonight, on the authority of God's Word, in spite of the sin that you've committed, if you'll confess it and forsake it, I'm glad that God will forgive us. I know the brethren may not forgive, and I know the movement may not forgive, and they may not understand, but you're going to have to determine in your heart that you're going to worship God in spite of whatever everybody says. All you can do is get right with God the best you know how, and then just keep on going for God in the capability you can. David, he worshiped God in spite of that fight with the flesh. He overcame his circumstances. He overcame them by confessing his sin. A lot of people tonight have never overcome their situation because they've never confessed their sin. For a year, almost a year, David let this slide by, thinking nobody knew about it, thought he had it covered up, but God brought the man of God with the Word of God, and he revealed it unto David. David could have got mad, David could have had Nathan put to death, but David had a repentant heart, and he got as right as he could, and God help us tonight to determine in our heart that we're going to worship in spite of the fights that we have with the flesh. I tell you, if you're going to live for the Lord, you're going to fight the flesh. I didn't get saved. I was 28 years old. I related to a lot to what was preached last night. Some people here tonight knew me before I got saved. But I'm glad. I thought when I got saved, it was going to get easier. And 5 years and 10 years and 15 years down the road, I thought it was going to get easier. I found out my flesh is more wicked. My mind is more wicked. My Adamic nature, it gets stronger the more enlightenment I get from this Word. But I'm telling you, in spite of everything, in spite of everybody, we need to do like David and mimic David and find ourselves in the house of the Lord and worship. You think about the people you know tonight that have fallen and they're not in church tonight. They're not all lost. Not all of them are lost. But they've had a fight with the flesh and they've not done like David and just came before the Lord and confessed their sin. You say, well, preacher, there's these big sins and these little sins and they're disqualifying sins and all of that. Hey, that's between you and God, friend. David, I can't rationalize everything David did, and yet he's a man after God's own heart. But he confessed it and he forsook it and he went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. Please don't leave the house of God. Please don't quit going to church. Please don't get out from under that sound of preaching. And the best you know how, come in and worship the Lord. In spite of the fight that he had with the flesh. And then secondly, it was in front of all of his friends. This was the king of Israel. You look in verse 17, and the elders of his house arose. There's the elders. In verse number 18, it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him. There's the elders. There's the servants. In verse 24, there's Bathsheba, the wife that he's took to himself at the end of chapter 11. There's Nathan, the man of God. This is in front of everybody. It's humiliating. Sin has always been humiliating. Sin has always been brought out. The man of God told David, you did this secretly, but God's going to bring it open. But that ought not make us quit coming to the house of God and quit worshiping God. It ought to draw us nearer unto Him and to find that peace and help and comfort that we're only going to get from Him. They didn't understand what David was feeling. They don't understand anything he does throughout this chapter. But David was repentant for what he had done. And if I can help you with anything, and if you don't hear anything else that I say this evening, I pray that God could drive it in your heart. If God's forgiven you, learn to forgive yourself. It took me several years after I got saved to really forgive myself after all I did in 28 years. And I don't go into detail much anymore on what I used to do because my kids are getting older and they're hearing things and understanding. But I'm telling you, if God's forgive yourself in spite of what everybody else says. And keep yourself in the house of God. Keep your family in the house of God. Learn from your mistakes. And worship an ever-forgiving God. In verse number 16, fasting even failed. The Bible said in verse 16, David therefore besought God. He was begging God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. He's doing this publicly. Everybody's watching. They don't understand. They don't understand. They're confused about it in the middle of the our text tonight. They don't understand why he's in there. They don't understand why he's fasting. The man of God's already declared that the baby's going to die. And David is praying and he's fasting. He's showing an act of denial in fasting. We know the New Testament said that some of the things you and I need tonight are going to come through prayer and fasting. It was a deliberate act. He was showing, if anything else, he was showing the people of Israel how that they could come and maybe find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, look at verse 22. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? David knew something about the grace of God, and he was appealing to the grace of God. He wasn't appealing to anything he had done, or who he was, or him being king, or anything he had done in the past, but he was appealing to the grace of God. But prayer and fasting failed. You meet so many people and they pray and their prayers don't come true or come through. And they quit and they fall out by the way. I've learned in the last few years that God's answering a lot of our prayers, but He's doing it in ways we never thought He'd do. You remember the days when you asked God to draw you close to Him? You remember the nights that you asked God to put His touch on you when you taught that class or you went out visiting or you did whatever it is you do, a mission work, evangelist, pastor, preacher. You remember when you wanted God's hand upon your singing, but you didn't know it was going to come through everything that was preached here last night, through trials and tests and tribulations. And it went in as gold and He came out like gold. I'm telling you that God is answering our prayers. But He's doing it in a lot of ways we never thought He would. When prayers are not answered, don't quit praying. I met a dear lady last night. I don't know if she's here tonight or not. And she's from down in Alabama. She wants to stand up here and take my picture. That makes me nervous because the law wanted to do that years ago. She said, can I take your picture? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, Jimbo, she said, I prayed for you years ago. She said, your brother used to come down to Decatur, Alabama and preach, and he'd cry over you and weep over you, and he'd ask, pray for my brother. She said, I heard that you got saved, and this is the first time that I've met you. Hey, I'm telling you, don't quit praying. Don't give up praying. Pray. Keep on praying. And keep on worshiping, and stay in the house of God. We're going to have to determine in 2007, if the Lord doesn't come in 08, we're going to have to determine to continue on by worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. You say, preacher, how did David do this? Look at verse 23. David said, but now he is dead. He had a boy child. Wherefore, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David had a focus that was far away. David had some insight in the Old Testament that a lot of Baptist preachers in East Tennessee still don't understand. that he couldn't come back. He couldn't bring that child back. But one day there was going to be a glad reunion day. There was going to be a reuniting. And David may not have been able to theologically expound upon all of it. But he said, "Men, I know I can't bring him back. But one day I can go to him." He had a focus that was beyond this world. I'm going to tell you how you're going to be able to keep on keeping on. Is get your focus beyond this life. Beyond these problems, beyond the predicaments of this lifestyle and everyone and everything in it, and get your eyes on God, and keep your eyes on Him till He comes. He had a positive leading. He said, "But now He is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Why should I fast? Can I bring Him back? Can I bring Him back again?" And then he had a place to look to. He said, "I shall go to him." He had a promise to live by. I just love every now and then just getting a word from God. And I mean, when you feel like you can't go on, you feel like you don't want to go on, you feel like whooping somebody, you just feel like your flesh is getting ready to take the best of you, and then God, through His precious Word, He'll come down and give you a word of encouragement. Nobody else may see it, nobody else may understand it, but it's just what you need for that hour and that moment. Hey, I'm going to keep on by the grace of God. Keep my focus on the other world. Keep my focus on the end of the course that God has set for this life, and then by grace be able to obtain that. Amen. Just a few weeks ago, in spite of me, we had a pretty good service Sunday at church a couple of weeks ago, both services. I mean, I just kind of nervous it was that good. And I told my wife, I said, that I even told her, I said, we had a good day. I had no more got home and showered and sat down on the couch and the phone rung. One of my trustees was on the other end of the line and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I need to tell you something." Actually, he had called another man and that man said, "I'm calling the pastor," and I was talking to him. Then I called the trustee back. He said, "Brother Jimbo," he said, "here's what it is." He said, "I want you to know you've been accused of embezzling money from the church." And them old timers, when I first got saved, they said, "You better be careful about false doctrine, females, and finances." I've kept myself around the right men and the right book. My name ain't on a check. My name ain't on nothing to be able to sign nothing. And I'm not talking to no woman under 80 years old without my wife somewhere in. I'm just telling you, in these last days, you can't be too careful. But I'm telling you, there's times when you need a word. A word. 7 years ago, our church was purged. Those people, they hate us so much that they use these accusations. Boy, I found out how eradicated my flesh was that night. See, I got some buddies I used to run with. Every now and then I'll see them over there at the gas station where we used to gamble and all of that. And they'll see me there and they'll say, "Where are you going, preacher?" I say, "I'm headed out to meeting." And they're lost. And they'll say, "Here, let me buy you gas." All I'd have to do is call one of them and I see somebody with the Sheriff's Department or something in here this evening. But there could be a lot of mysterious things happen before morning. God works in ways above our ways. One of my men called me. He said, "I've got a lawyer on retainer." He said, "We'll sue him." I said, "We'll do it. I'm ready." And then I went in and I sat down and I started thinking about how good God's been to me. And I am by no means perfect. You don't know me and probably we won't meet many times in this life. I'm far from perfect. But I've tried to live for the Lord for 16 years. And I just told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'm just going to leave it in your hands. If people want to believe it, they're going to believe it anyway." And I said, "Lord, you can take care of it a whole lot better than I can. And I started reading through the Word of God, and God started giving a word. In spite of everything that you're facing, in spite of everything that's going on, in spite of church problems and family problems, and things that justify you quitting and giving in and giving up, just keep your focus on the Lord. Stay in the house of God, and the best you know how, worship Him. Worship Him. His focus was far away. Lastly, I'm done. Look at verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. I want to say lastly, in spite of everything that David did, God fashioned Solomon from the fall of David. You call it whatever you want to call it. I just say God's a big God. You say, preacher, you're saying I can go out and mess up my life and God will take that and He'll make a Solomon out of it. You ask David, he'll a million times over wished he'd never done it. You ask Naomi and Elimelech, they'll wish a million times over they never left Bethlehem, Judah. But I'm glad God can take our wrongs and our mishaps and mess-ups and with the broken and a contrite spirit, use it to bring a Solomon. You're not useless. You're not second class. You don't deserve to sit on the back pew of the church. You deserve to come up and worship and just keep on keeping on and let God use you in the capacity you can be used. God turned that sin into Solomon. God takes situations to show that sovereign hand. Elimelech and Naomi left Bethlehem, Judah. You know that story better than I do. They went down there and the men died, and here comes Naomi back and she's got Ruth. And Ruth meets Boaz. They court and date and all of that. In chapter 4, they get married. I'm talking about backslidden. Talk to one great student of the Word of God, and it's an interracial marriage. A Moabitess with a Jew. But God took that seed of Boaz and Ruth, and they begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. And Matthew chapter 1 has a whole big bunch of mishaps in it. And they're all in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm telling you, God can take your worst fall, your worst mistake, and use it for His honor. It's not a license to sin, but it's the love of our Savior to love us in spite of ourselves. To love us in spite of ourselves. Keep on worshiping. Keep on worshiping. Keep on serving. Amen.